I basically have to always assume that there's a running video camera in every room of my house.
So basically, you're pretty much restricted to always wearing pants at this point.
Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog, episode 12 for Friday, June 26th, 2015. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about how a simple camera could change everything about our relationships. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. Before we get started, we just want to say a big thank you to Leban Hyde. Leban, L-E-B-A-N. I don't know how to say that. Sorry, L. Hyde. But thank you very much for giving a wonderful rating and review in iTunes.
Thank you. I keep quiet and let you mispronounce the names.
So this week, we should warn the Terrifying Robot listener that we're going to talk about an episode of a show that will include spoilers.
Yes.
There's no way to talk about this without spoilers.
Yes, and we're not going to tell you what the show is, so you're just going to have to...
Yeah, we could probably do that. We don't have to say the title.
We don't have to say the title of the show.
So there's this show, and there's all these different episodes, and they're all pretty much unrelated, but they're all... either set in the near future or definitely sci-fi. There's a particular episode that ties in very well to our weekly topic here. So this particular show centers around ostensibly a simple piece of technology.
Yes.
It's this little thing called, they call it a grain, and or the grain. And it's this very small thing that everyone gets implanted under the skin behind their ear. And it's not something that's, you know, it's not something they don't want. It's something they definitely want. Not everyone has it, but virtually everyone does. And they want it and they pay for it the way we all kind of do with iPhones or smartphones in general.
Yeah.
And so the thing, though, is not like a phone. It's not like a communication device. It just does one thing. And that is it records everything you see and hear. So it's like you've got a video camera in your eye and a microphone in your ear all the time. And it records everything and uploads it to like a cloud server. And then later, you can play those videos back by kind of airplaying them or air sharing them from your grain to like a big screen TV if you want people to see your roller coaster ride at Disney World. Or you can play it directly on your eye so that you could be, say, riding on the subway or something and playing back a video from earlier that day. And the thing is, they can't see what you're seeing. So it's kind of like you're viewing it in private publicly, or you're viewing it privately in public, I guess.
Yeah.
But they can see that you're doing it. Like they can see that there's like images being projected on the surface of your eye. So people can see that you're watching something, and that, you know, it's kind of like, I suppose, like having headphones in. People would know maybe that you're not paying attention to them.
And I mean, it's in this show, it's this tiny little grain that's implanted, and it's very, in that sense, that's very advanced and inconspicuous. But we have things right now that can do very similar stuff. They're just not tiny and inconspicuous. And in a world where pretty much everyone has one anyway, as in this episode, does it really matter if it's tiny and inconspicuous? Because it's just expected that you'll have one. So,
yeah. So, well, the thing about the episode that it's so interesting to me is that this single feature that everyone's always recording, mm-hmm. virtually everyone is always recording, changes a million things about the interpersonal relationships and the way that people work and the way that people socialize. It's like the episode's not about the technology, really.
It's not. It's about the way that people interact.
Yeah, and how all those interactions change with the addition of this one simple feature. You know, the particular technology, having it implanted like that, is definitely not here and not coming anytime soon. But it felt like the show was inspired heavily by the launch of Google Glass a couple of years back.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So
it's very, very Google Glass like in that respect.
Yeah. And so I wonder if maybe I think from an adoption standpoint, it probably does matter how conspicuous the thing is. But there are other things that are not as conspicuous as Google Glass that do this very similar thing, at least in the capture phase, maybe not in the playback phase.
Right. Like you have a narrative clip.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if people don't know what that is, it's the size of like a matchbook, if you remember what a matchbook it was.
Or like those little square iPod touches.
Yes.
Or little square iPod.
The nanos.
Nanos.
Yeah. It's very small. It's like you could clip it on your jacket and no one notices it. It's just this tiny little thing. And it's just got this little camera hole on it. And it takes a picture of whatever it's pointed at every 30 seconds all day long. As long as it's face up, as long as it's not dark, it takes pictures. And it doesn't take video and it doesn't take... It doesn't record audio and it doesn't stream the photos anywhere. They're just stored right on the thing and you have to like copy them over to your machine later. It's just like this dumb little snapshot camera that takes pictures. There's also, I went to a charity fun run a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the people who was there was wearing a very inconspicuous pair of regular looking kind of like chunky Ray-Ban sunglasses. And my brother was like, dude, you got to see this. You're going to love it. And and is just this mom, you know, like...
Mm-hmm. Soccer mom.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she was not a techno nerd in any way.
Right.
But she had these glasses that had a camera right in the bridge of the glasses that she would... I don't know how she activated it. But she didn't... It wasn't always running, but she would activate it. And she would record certain things. So we were standing in front of a bouncy slide, and the kids were going up it.
The kids, yeah.
Yeah, so she had a little kid, so she really needed the hands free. And she would, you know, her kids sliding on the thing, and she would activate the glasses. I can't remember. I think there was a button on the arm that she would toggle on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, it's not streaming to the cloud. She can't play it back on her eyeball. But point being that this type of technology is getting closer to being feasible. I mean, I guess the thing is that this is not super sci-fi-ish. The playback raises some interesting issues in the show, but that's definitely not the key feature. The key feature is the always recording and being able to like pour over videos later.
Oh, that would be both fun and awkward and... I have all kinds of fun memories in my life that I would like to relive in something more accurate than, certainly more accurate than my mind. But you know, you lose time. But on the other hand, I don't know if they would be as good just rewatching them.
Yeah, right. Like the sort of Instagram filters of your memory.
Yeah.
Make those old things probably better than they were. And, you know, in fact, there have been studies on this because I can recall reading stuff about how I've seen articles in like Wired type of magazines about how mm-hmm. our kids aren't going to be able to forget anything because everything's documented so thoroughly where, you know, we were having a conversation last night and I was saying how, oh, yeah, I used to have hair down to my waist and you're like, pictures, please. And I don't have one. There's not a picture of it.
Yeah.
That wasn't I almost said it wasn't that long ago. I guess it was. It doesn't seem that long ago. It was like the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, like Pearl Jam and Nirvana grunge phase.
God, that really does not seem that long ago.
No, but it was like 20. I know. But still, in a time span, when you think it wasn't even, but see, it wasn't even that long ago. That's the example, that's the hair example. But mm-hmm. it really hasn't been that long that everybody's had a camera in their pocket. That's only been about 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
Because it was really, I guess, camera phone, you know, cell phones had cameras, I guess, but I don't remember people taking selfies like they do now.
Well, cell phones had cameras, but they were crappy cameras and there was no way to share them.
So really in the last 10 years, the photography thing has just exploded.
Yeah, there was an interesting graph that it might have been that you posted about the number of photographs taken per year. And how much it changed as soon as the iPhone came out. It just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw another one in there that was, if you count smartphones, the number of cameras sold since
the
beginning
of... That might be what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, since the beginning of digital photography, the number of digital cameras sold, if you include smartphones is like, it's like, it's not even a hockey stick. It's like a straight up wall.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is that, again, like we've got the cameras all around us. People are shooting stuff all the time. And for whatever reason, it's not, I have very rarely, I can think of only one occasion when I've gotten the stink eye from somebody for taking a picture in some public place.
Yeah. And I can think of only one occasion where I felt uncomfortable about someone taking pictures or recording something.
Mm. So, and I'm sure both of us sees people taking selfies and is being, getting their picture taken all the time. And normally no one cares.
Yeah.
So a funny thing started happening recently, in case you think you're immune to this, dear listener. Mm. Now that Cooper and Maggie are, it's specifically Cooper. He's starting to make like Lego stop motion videos and
cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And he's shooting like Let's Play videos. And at first he was like, Dad, I want to do a Let's Play video. You know, he'd have some new Minecraft mod or whatever. And so I'd set up the phone on this little stand we have and turn on the video thing and record it. So, you know, 3 seconds later, he knew how to do it himself.
Right, right.
And now he will just be walking around the house shooting a YouTube video of like, you know, you hear him in the other room. Hey guys, it's like Gamer Guy 7225. Here I am. As you can see, my room's a little messy today, you know, and he's just like walking around the house, taking this running selfie video.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And he'll just do it until the hard drive's full and the iPad shuts off.
Yeah.
So it automatically uploads to Dropbox. So we get, you know, and all of our stuff is linked to the same Dropbox account. So I'll take a picture or whatever, and later I'll go back to get it, and I'll find all these videos in Dropbox, and it'll be videos of me, like I'm in the videos.
You had no idea.
No, I have no idea. Like there's like a spy in our house uploading videos of our life to the internet, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
So the constant surveillance thing is totally happening.
It is.
Especially if you have kids. I basically have to always assume that there's a running video camera in every room of my house.
So basically, you're pretty much restricted to always wearing pants at this point.
That's exactly. It's
what changed it boils down to.
It's changed my behavior, let's just say. Everything I do is potentially being streamed to Dropbox. So it's a great segue into the behavior change. So what do people do differently, A, when they... virtually certain that someone's filming them. Like they might not know where the camera is, or they might not be sure that it's happening, but they're virtually certain that there's a camera of some kind on them recording their every move.
Right.
What does that do to your behavior? And secondly, if you had access to your direct memories and other people's direct memories, well, I shouldn't say memories, sensory. It's more like their sensory input. You don't know what they thought.
Right.
You just know what their eyes saw and their ears heard. If you have access to that, it creates all sorts of creepy situations. So like, for example...
you become a lot more paranoid.
In the show, everyone was over that phase. I'm sure you're right. But in the show, it was just... Aaron was just like, that's just
I think,
normal.
I think there would come a point where you'd just be like, screw it. It's going to happen. And, you know...
Yeah.
I think you would eventually, you would hit that point because it would just be so mentally and emotionally exhausting to not get over it.
Yeah. You'd have to.
Yeah. You'd have to.
Yeah. But I'm sure if something like this really could come to pass, there'd be a huge, well, maybe not. Maybe it would be a slow transition into the ubiquity of something like this. But if it came out today cold, like it just dropped into the market, like Google's like, hey, guess what we have now? Everyone would freak out. Well, not everyone. I'd go get it, but everyone else would freak out. Now, I don't know if I would get it. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
I think I would get it, but I would use it very limitedly. Well, I mean, if it was a...
No, man, it's on.
Talking like an implant that it's on.
Hmm.
No.
In fact, there are two situations in the show, again, spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a situation in the show where they're at a dinner party, and there's this one woman who notices that another woman has like a Band-Aid or like stitches on the spot behind her neck, where it usually is. And she's like, what happened? And she, and she, I wish I could remember the name, but she said, Cutter got me. And they're like, no. And she was like, yeah. And somehow they did the exposition to explain that people, it was not uncommon for people to get mugged and for someone to cut the,
stolen. Yeah.
Yeah, to cut the thing out of their neck to sell it on the black market. And everyone was like, oh, can I see? And she was like, yeah, yep. And, you know, she showed it to him. They're like, you didn't get to put it back in yet? And she goes, no. She's like, it's been out for 6 weeks and I kind of like it. Mm. And everyone was like, oh, I can never, no, I could I never go yeah. without the grain.
Yeah.
Going against the grain. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, yeah. yeah. So, I mean, we're certainly talking about like probably second or third generation wearers here.
Yeah, definitely. These people are portrayed as
having grown up with the thing.
Having grown up with it. Yes, exactly.
Which is funny because, but I mean, we see that all the time. I mean, look at this. Look at how much more like kids are into like my kid is way more into smartphones than my dad, you know, because I mean, she's grown up around it. It's all she's, I mean, that adoption is there. Like they don't think anything of it.
No, it's fish water.
They don't think anything of the internet being a thing. It's, you know, it's just, it's always been there. It has never occurred to Kira that there has been a time where you couldn't just email someone, or you couldn't, like, if I was gone somewhere that I couldn't just text her or that kind of thing. That's never been a thing she's experienced.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, that's a topic unto itself. That's a big one. But if you grew up knowing that you just had this constant recording of everything that you could just quickly and easily scan back to.
Yeah. I think you would be a lot more comfortable with it because you'd never known anything different.
Yeah.
I don't miss, sometimes I'm inconvenienced by it, but I don't miss not being able to see better.
Right. Cause you never did.
Right.
So I have noticed when I've been in a tracking phase where like I was using the narrative clip all the time, or something like that, or even tracking my steps, when it fails for some reason for a period of time, you get this sense of loss. Like you get this sense of, oh, I missed out on this thing.
Yeah, I went for a walk yesterday afternoon, and you know, I forgot to turn. It's like I didn't turn the tracker on until I was like halfway through. I was like, oh, this is useless data now.
Yeah, and you can't. And most of those things don't let you fix it, so it makes you be like, oh no. Like,
I don't know how many steps I took before I remembered to turn it on, or how much the distance I walked.
Mm. I can remember a couple of occasions where I took video or photos of a thing and then they got erased and the anger is still, I can still feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the, there was a hurricane, near our house and a bunch of really big trees came down. And after it was basically passed, we went out when Cooper was really little and I took some amazing shots of him standing in front of this downed tree with a poncho on. It was like that really cool post hurricane color air.
Yeah.
And it was the coolest picture. And, I ended up losing that and a bunch of other ones because I had a beta version of iOS on that phone and it bricked. Oh man, it still makes, I can still see the picture in my mind. It was so cool. And it just dried. So point being that if you grew up being able to randomly access in like a perfect audio and video of any situation you've ever been in, I can imagine that most people would be quite addicted to, or I shouldn't say addicted, but quite dependent on that being a reality. But so there's the capture phase is interesting, because then there's the question of like, how does everybody feel being recorded all the time? But then the other thing that I find really interesting is what's socially acceptable in terms of demanding to see somebody's feed.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple of situations like where the husband in the show demanded to see the wife's feed and she didn't want to show it to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, right there, you're like, well, why not? You know? But there was also a situation where at the beginning of the show, the husband's flying back from a business trip and he goes through security. And I didn't even understand this because the show had barely just started and didn't know what the premise was. But he walks up to the security guy and instead of asking for his ID and passport or whatever, he goes, last 60 minutes. and a video plays of the guy like packing his suitcase and riding in the cab or whatever. And I was like, what was that?
Yeah.
But what was going on was the security guard was demanding to see the last 60 minutes of his grain feed on fast forward to see if he had like packed a bomb in his bag or, you know, done anything
suspicious
weird.
Or
exactly.
Yeah.
And so those were just two
just creepy.
Yeah. Those just two little examples of being forced to turn over access to your sensory input. This is where like Eric Schmidt and Mark Zuckerberg always get themselves in trouble because they both are of the opinion that if you've got nothing to hide, you should not care about this.
I agree and disagree.
Mm-hmm.
On principle, I agree that if you've got nothing to hide, you shouldn't care. But on the other hand, you know, it's private. It's no one else's business, even if it is nothing to hide. Like, I don't mess with Richard's phone. Richard doesn't mess with my phone. It's not because we have things to hide from each other. It's just because it's none of my business, you know?
You can see where people would not 100% yeah. agree with that position. It's like...
No, I know a ton of couples now who don't agree with that position. And they're like, no, I'm his wife. I can look at whatever I want on his phone.
Yeah.
You know, or vice versa with husbands looking at phones of their wives. But I mean, you know, it's not that I have anything to hide from Richard. It's just that my conversations with my friends aren't really his business, and his conversations with his friends aren't any of my business, unless yeah. there's something that one of us wants to share. But I know a lot of couples who don't operate that way.
It does get weird though, because you and I have communications in a whole bunch of different text mediums.
at least half a dozen.
At least. We'll type back and forth in Skype, in ADM or GChat, like, Slack,
like
a couple
different
Slack rooms.
Slack channels. And
so here's the thing that's recently occurred to me, is that I pick certain ones depending on what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that the other day, and the reason why is because there's a culture in each one, and there's a set of expectations around each one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if we're talking in a general chat room, of course, there's, you know, we're not going to talk about something really private, not even necessarily because we care that it's private. It's just
right,
not interesting to everyone else.
Right, but I even pick which one I'm going to private message you in.
Yeah, me too. That's more for like searchability later, just so I know where I wrote it. the point is, like, I can imagine situations where, wife goes through husband's phone and doesn't have the context or the social understanding of the situation in the mm-hmm. particular communication channel. Even if it's this, like I might say something to you in GChat that I wouldn't say in Slack. In the dev
yeah.
channel of Sticky Albums, for example, even though it's really just us in there, it's not totally private. So I'm yeah. aware of the fact that if I say something, it could be taken out of context. If I say something to someone who doesn't know me as well as you do, it could be misconstrued or taken out of context, or something that you would consider funny would be offensive to someone else.
Right.
That who it was not intended for. And then you get into the whole category of white lies and saying things to people just to be nice because you're probably never going to see him again. And, you know, but then somebody else reads that and it becomes front page news. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's so, okay. And, you know, like the Sony hack, all those emails that got released out of context and out of context of the relationship between the people who exchanged them. That's the tricky part. So to pull it back to the topic, what if you had video of everything? And somebody just randomly jumps in and is like, okay, explain yourself here. Why'd you laugh at this joke? It wasn't funny.
Well, it's like, well, you have to go back 10 years and watch this for 2 hours. And then, yeah.
Exactly. And that's why I don't go through, I never even thought about it until right now, but I don't go through Erica's phone because I would be afraid right. that I would find something out of context and be like, hey, to be honest, I never even thought about it until right now, but I'm sure that would probably happen. You know, I wouldn't even, she would, I'm sure, not probably care, but she would be like, why are we going through my chat message with Heather?
Right.
You know, it would be weird. That would be out of character for our relationship, even though we've as far as I know, never even thought about it, or certainly never discussed it.
Right, right. Like, I wouldn't care if Richard went through my phone, because I don't have anything to hide. But at the same time, I'd be like, why are you doing that? This is awkward. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not keeping secrets from you, but this is awkward things to share with you because they weren't meant for you to see in the first place.
Yeah, you weren't in the room
yeah.
when it happened, so it's too easy. It could be easy to take it out of context. So the thing is, I don't think all of this stuff, whether it's like the chat back and forth or it's actual video back and forth, like a video of a conversation of, you know, whatever, a private conversation that your wife had with her doctor, let's say, and then, you know, you can go back and just watch that without asking or demand to watch it. It gets like, I feel like it's kind of starting to happen already. Because mm-hmm. you could demand to see emails, or you could demand to see chat messages, or you could just demand to give me your phone and let me look at that. Like, I know dads that have teenagers that are like, I'm not going to put Snoopware on this phone. It's your phone. It's you. Mm-hmm. I trust you to do the right thing. But I'll tell you, at any point, I will take that phone and I will go through it with no warning.
It's like, well, I don't do that with Kira. Like, I made it a point, like, I'm not going to go through Kira's phone. But at the same time, you can bet every month when I pay the bill, I'm looking at the list of phone numbers.
So now imagine if those were all video files.
Yeah.
Would you be able to not play them?
Would I be able to?
Especially if there was some situation.
If there was some situation where I was concerned about her safety, I would play them in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But in general, I think that I would be able to not play them because, to be perfectly honest, if I'm not concerned about her safety, then I don't want to know.
Yeah, I know? Think I don't want to know. I'm pretty sure. I think I'm on the same page you are. But you can see, like, so now when you bring the kids into it,
right.
Dear listener, if you're thinking this is all never going to happen, or you think it's awesome, whichever, it's a whole nother ball of wax when you think, okay, at what age do kids get them? Because they're all going to want them.
Yeah.
And what age do you let them have it? And who has access to the videos? Who are they allowed to share them with? What is the parental expectation? Like, is the expectation, look, you can get the grain, but I'm going to watch, you just assume I'm going to watch every single video. Or you say, you get the grain, and as long as your grades are good, I won't. You know, as long as you come home on time, as long as you adhere to the rules, I'm not going to look at anything. Yeah. But if you screw up, I'm gonna. Or
yeah.
Are you sneaky and you just look at them every once in a while?
I have an opinion, and you may want to edit this out because it may end up having me look like a really bad parent.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely cut it.
Okay. Yeah, it's nowhere, not at all going out to.
All the dear listeners just leaned in closer to the speakers.
I know, yeah. But. Kira is a good kid. I could not ask for a better kid. She's never been in trouble a day in her life. She never lies to us. She's open to talking to us about the things that are going on. She's home when she's supposed to be. She's where she says she's going to be, that sort of stuff. It's just like I could not ask for a better behaved and more respectful and wonderful kid.
So, yeah, I should cut that.
Yeah, that does make me sound like a horrible mom. But no, my point is, I don't monitor her internet access. She knows to be safe online, and that's something we talk about. And I trust her because she's proven to me that I can trust her. But at the same time, maybe she's looking at stuff online that I would not choose to let her look at online.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she is. I'm not going to deny that fact. But if she is, she's apparently handling it in a mature way and not letting it negatively impact her in any way. So I don't really care.
Yeah. So like, look at it like this. When we were kids, certainly when I was a kid, nobody was monitoring anything because there was no
right.
way to. The thing that's changed is now there's a way to monitor some of it.
Right.
So people are like, well, then we should. On the topic of Cooper's iPad YouTube mm-hmm. watching habits, I have probably said already on this episode that I wouldn't track it. I mean, now that I think back, I have said to him, Cooper, you know that when you watch videos, it I can see the history of all the videos that you've watched.
Yeah.
So
like, even, I'm not going to track it, but I'll let you know that I can.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Right. Like I was feeling a little bit more ivory tower about it until I remembered that I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did threaten him with snooping or, yeah, or whatever.
Well, it's like I told Kira, it's like, I'm not going to track your stuff. But then I was like, but look, I can see all the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how many text messages you've sent and all the numbers they're going to.
Yeah. And when Cooper can start.
But I'm not going to read them.
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Like, unless I feel like I should. Unless I change my mind.
Unless you give me a reason to.
Yeah, that is kind of where my head was going. It's like, I'm not going to read any of this unless you give me a reason to. So just don't give me a reason to.
Exactly.
I don't want to go through your browser history. Oh, I do not want to. I don't want to go there. I don't want to know it. I don't even want to know those things exist.
Kira's 13. I don't want to think about browser history.
No. Yeah. I mean, Cooper's not old enough to type yet, but he knows how to use Siri.
Yeah, it's like 5-year-old Kira wanting to Google image search for pictures of horses. And I'm like, no way. Diving for the keyboard.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so we're way off in the weeds. But so to bring it back to this isn't completely off topic because what we're talking about is this new ability to track behavior that did not exist when we were kids. There's this way that almost anyone could easily track somebody's digital habits, let's call them.
Yeah.
And it raises a whole issue of like, okay, if these digital habits include a feed of your sensory input, where do you draw the line? Who's allowed to cross the line? What kind of rules are created around that?
Legal ramifications.
Yeah. I mean, it would affect every aspect. I mean,
Can you imagine like criminal trials?
Think about just going to your doctor.
Oh yeah.
Or like a private conversation with your lawyer. Like, yeah, like you said, a jail.
It would make me a lot more uncomfortable about going to the gynecologist.
Me too.
Yeah. Wait.
Oh, please. I'm over 40. Things get worse when you're a guy and you turn 40. Let's just say.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know it's not as bad. Okay, we don't probably need to have a we don't need to have a delivery room conversation.
Editing.
Well, actually, delivery room conversation. Let's have it. Everybody's recording video of everything.
Yeah.
Some things are meant to be forgotten. I'm not saying the whole thing, but there are some things that happen.
Yeah, I know people who have recorded things that I'm like, I'm happy to remember the birth of my child, but I don't need to go into that much detail.
Yeah. Didn't need to see all of the bodily fluids that were involved.
Yeah.
So.
And the orifices from which they came.
Oh, I mean, it's just every exit.
Yeah.
Open. Erica puked on me the first time. She's like, everything. Like, you don't want a video of that. There are some parts that you would. There's some parts that probably. God, I can't even decide. I don't think I have a pretty clear memory, let me tell you. I don't remember a lot of things, but I remember both kids being born.
Right.
Clear enough that I don't think I need a
camera to remember it for you.
Yeah, the harsh lighting and like the weird, piercings that one of the nurses had. I don't need all those details. So, oh man, it would be so. There's just so many things to consider. And to bring it back to the beginning when we were talking about, it's a simple feature. Record everything. Well, anyway, folks, we'd love to hear what you think about it. Would you spy on your kids? Would you watch their videos?
How would you act differently if everything you did was recorded?
Yeah. Everyone will say, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't act differently. Yeah, you would.
Yeah, you would.
You'd put pants on.
You'd what? You'd put pants on? Yeah.
Yeah, I wear pants a lot more now. All right, folks, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Schaefer.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends who would dig the show, and send them to our website, terrifyingrobotdog.com, for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. Thanks a lot.